Proverbs chapter 11, let's look at verse 13. Notice the Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. It's enough right there, isn't it? But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. That's it. One verse tonight. Let's read it together when I say begin. Read it. Ready? Begin. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word and the power of your word. We are so grateful that you've given us the Bible, breathed out, inspired, preserved of God, and we have your words for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And Father, this evening I pray as I preach the message that I know you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd, Lord, your word would go forth tonight with power and clarity, that you'd use me for your glory, fill me with your spirit, and please give us all ears to hear. Lord, I pray we would not think about our neighbor or someone else or another church member, but we'd examine ourselves and our own hearts to see if this be a matter that we need to deal with. And so I pray your blessing and help now. Again, remove any thoughts that are not pleasing to thee this evening and any distractions as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title 18, section 798. You know it. Of the U.S. Code is a federal law that prohibits the leaking of classified information to an unauthorized person. In other words, if someone is entrusted with classified information and they knowingly and willfully communicate that information to an unauthorized person or publishes that information somewhere or passes it along to someone that shouldn't have it, if they get caught and are convicted, they will serve up to 10 years in federal prison, be given a fine, or both, unless your name is Hillary Clinton. But that's the way it's supposed to work. Amen? Now, why is that so important? Because the government understands something. They understand that passing on information, critical information, to others is a very dangerous thing. Amen. Think of what it could do. It could cause a breach in our national security. It could put our country's citizens, you and I, at risk. It could do great harm to people. So the unnecessary passing of information is a serious matter. But what many Christians do not understand is that you and I, passing on information to others and about others, is a serious matter as well. It can ruin friendships. It can ruin marriages. It can split churches. It can ruin schools. It could change the whole thing, you know, the spirit of things, by doing this. And I want you to notice that that's what we're dealing with here tonight. This serious matter called, look at verse 13, talebearing. Notice a talebearer, what does he do? He revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Chew on that for a little bit. Amen. That's what a talebearer does. He reveals things he should not reveal, but if a person's of a faithful spirit, he doesn't reveal it. He keeps his mouth closed. Now, for some time now, we've been looking at the subject of wisdom from above. You know the series from we've been dealing with in James chapter 3. Again, the idea is that there are two ideas, two sources, if you will, of wisdom to choose from. Amen. There is the wisdom from above, that is God's wisdom, and then there is a so-called wisdom of this world. We know that the wisdom from above we find in God's word. This is God's wisdom. It is said, according to James chapter 3, to be pure and peaceable, to be gentle, it's easy to be entreated. In other words, it's easily accessible. It is full of mercy. It is full of good fruits. And it is without hypocrisy. And I am so glad that God's wisdom is infallible.
Amen. Amen.
It never fails. It's always right, and it's always what's best Amen. For us. But then there's something else out there, this so-called wisdom of this world. And we know that the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
James chapter 3 says that it is filled with envy. It is filled with strife. It causes confusion. It is said to be earthly and sensual and even devilish. That is what the wisdom of this world is. It is devilish. And we must all choose, every one of us, even as believers, which wisdom are we going to follow?
Right.
Is it going to be God's or is it going to be man's? But understand, in order to follow God's wisdom, we must know God's wisdom.
Amen.
And that's what this series is about tonight. So tonight we're dealing with this subject, notice, the wisdom of avoiding talebearing. Avoiding talebearing. Dylan Duke, a recent high school graduate, he wrote an article for a teenage blog. The blog was called Life Teen. Listen what the blog's title was. It was entitled, "It's Time to Silence the Gossip." There's a good amen spot. Somebody picked up on that.
Right.
He writes, "In high school, there was so much gossip. I couldn't keep up with it. It's a bit of an epidemic when a rumor would start and then only a couple of hours later, the majority of the school knows about it. While rumors may be easy to listen to and quick to share, the amount of damage it can cause somebody is immeasurable." This is a teenager saying this. "The awful truth about gossip is that while it may be standard in our current society, it's incredibly harmful and toxic, and we have to fight it in our own communities." He talks about a story when he was a victim of gossip. "There was a rumor," he says, "circulating about me. I didn't know exactly what was being said. I would see people talking and laughing and then disperse when they saw me coming. It made me feel like I was on an island. When I finally did hear the rumor, which turned out to be false, the amount of betrayal I felt in my heart was too much for words." It's damaging, isn't it? You've heard people say this, "One of the hardest things in the ministry is people." Well, the truth of the matter is the ministry is people. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But what makes it hard many times is this very thing that we're talking about tonight, is dealing with talebearers, dealing with people that like to tell everybody everything. That's a problem. And if that describes you, that's a problem. And I want you to think about that tonight. So let's look at this idea of the wisdom of avoiding talebearing and ask ourselves, what exactly is a talebearer? And what does God's wisdom say about talebearing? So let's see if we can not only understand this, but test ourselves to see if we fall, if we have fallen into this sin. Notice number one, the description of a talebearer. What is a talebearer like? Here it is in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. We read, again, "A talebearer revealeth secrets." What does that mean? Well, letter A, write this down. It's definition. What is the definition of talebearing? Well, the English word talebearing, talebearer, is found only six times in our King James Bible. As a matter of fact, the first occurrence of it is found in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, and all other five times that you find the word talebearing are found in the book of Proverbs. And I have them listed there for you, all of the occurrences, 11:13, 18:8. 20 and verse 19, 26:20, and 26:22. Now, here in our text in the book of Proverbs in chapter 11 and verse 13, this is the first time in the book of Proverbs that this word talebearer appears. That's why I kind of latched onto it. I thought, hey, we're working our way through Proverbs. Here's a word we haven't dealt with yet, so let's deal with it tonight. The word talebearer. Now, it's from the Hebrew word rakil, which literally means, watch this, it means to bear a tail. That makes sense, right? Tail bearing, what you're doing is you are bearing a tale. You're carrying around a story about someone. You're carrying tales. You're carrying story. You know, it's interesting that when you bear a tale or you're tail bearer, what you're doing is you're carrying a story about somebody around and you have it with you. But the interesting thing is that you can actually give this out to someone and you still have the story with you. So you can give it and keep it at the same time and it can multiply itself. And somebody that's a tale bearer, that's what they do. They go around and they tell a story about someone. They tell somebody else about somebody and they tell somebody else about somebody. You can keep that. That's your gift for tonight. And so forth. Doesn't mean anything, by the way. I'm just, you know, you just happen to be. That's why a lot of people don't sit in the front row, because that kind of thing happens. But that's what it means. You're carrying this story around and you're giving it out and giving it out and giving it out and so forth. That is a tale bearer. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines it this way: a person who officiously tells tales. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. You may know. I didn't know. I had to look it up. One who impertinently communicates intelligence or antidotes and makes mischief in society by his officiousness. Twice in the definition, the Webster's 1828 use that word. And so I looked it up, and here's basically what it means when you put that word and define that one as well. And I wrote it down on your sheet. Notice a tale bearer is someone, watch this, who without invitation or solicitation is both ready and eager to pass on a story or an incident or some information that they heard. There's a great definition of a tale bearer there. It is that person who, they're not asked, they're not solicited, but boy, they are ready and eager to pass on a story or an incident or some kind of information that they've heard to others. They're the type of person that just has to pass it on. They feel compelled to do it. They do not know how to keep their mouth closed. You know, when speaking of a tale bearer, let me see if I can explain it a little bit further. We're not talking about two things. This is not on your sheet, but I want you to maybe write this down or at least note it in your mind. We're not talking about this. We're not talking about relaying information about something that happened to an authority in order for that situation to be dealt with. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say you're working somewhere and you happen to see a fellow employee out of the corner of your eye taking money from the cash register and putting it in their pocket. The right thing to do is to tell the boss, report them. That is not tale bearing, all right? That's not what it's talking about. You could also say another example. If a student knows of another student that's doing something wrong, that's cheating on a test or stealing something from the school or another student, then it is his responsibility to tell the authority about what's going on. Don't say, well, I don't want to be a tale bearer, preacher. That's not tale bearing. As a matter of fact, if you don't report it, it's sin. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 1 says this: if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Let me sum it up. If you're there and you hear something that is wrong and you're a witness of something, if you don't tell the appropriate person and authority, then you are as guilty as the person that doing it.
Right.
So that's not tale bearing. There's a second thing that's not tale bearing, and that is this: when we tell someone something that has a legitimate or a vested interest in the person that something happened to. Let me explain what I mean. Again, telling someone that has a legitimate or a vested interest in the person that the story happened to. Let me give you an example. Let's say my mother, God forbid, but let's say say she got into a little car accident, but she was okay. But she did maybe have a fender bender, and I heard about it. I would likely, we weren't sure she was. I would likely mention something to my brothers and my sister because they would be concerned because they might hear about the accident and say, "Is she okay? How come somebody didn't tell me? I want to make sure I go over and check on her," and that sort of thing. So again, me telling them what happened, that's not tail-bearing as we see it here in the Bible, because there's a legitimate interest in that person. There is a vested interest in that person. But it's not necessary for me to tell everybody that story, just those who have a vested interest in that person. You only need to tell those who need to know. Otherwise, then it becomes tail-bearing. I'll say more about that here in a little bit. So what we're talking about here is someone who can't keep quiet about anything. I mean, they love to know things about people. They love to tell things about people. They love to get information and then pass that information on to anyone and everyone. That, my friend, is a tale bearer. Now, there's other Bible words for this type of behavior that we find, besides a tale bearer. One would be a whisperer, right? Whispering stories to somebody. Proverbs 16:28. Watch this. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, or a tale bearer, someone who talks about people, tells stories about people, separateth chief friends. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, when it's talking about the unregenerate world being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. So the characteristic of the unregenerate world is that they are whisperers as well. They love to tell stories. They're tale bearers. 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I fear, this is to believers now, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumult. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems going on there, and he said, I don't want to come there and see you all, among those other things, whispering one to another and talking about people. Don't do that. Another Bible word for tale-bearing would be a busybody. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:11. We're going to hear a little bit more about that in a bit. But for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies, just talking about people all the time. 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. We used to say when we grew up, get your nose out of my business, right? That's kind of the phrase we used to use. Another Bible word would be the word tattler. Not like we use it today, but it has the idea of a talebearer, 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. Also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Again, all of those words that I just mentioned, a tattler, a busybody, and whisperer, all of those words describe someone who likes to pass on information that has no reason to pass along that information. They are talebearers. Now, it's interesting the day that we live in, because there's many ways you can be a tale bearer. There are several arenas, and I'll just mention a few, that people can exercise their tale bearing. Number one is this. This is not on your sheet here, but we can say in person. You could just talk to someone, hey, I got a story, hey, I got a story. And church service, maybe before or after, becomes a time when you just like to just relay a story and pass it on. So some people do it in person. Some people do it over the telephone. Just talking, and as you know, Monday morning is, you know, roast the preacher from Sunday and the message and that sort of thing, or roast a church member for what they did or what they said and so forth, and you're just going back and forth. You could do it over the telephone. You could do it through emails. You could do it through texting. You can do it, here it is, on social media. A lot of people do that. They like to talk about people on social media. You can do it through blogs. You could do it through chat rooms. You could do it in the comments section on whatever, on maybe a YouTube video that's playing. My point is this. There are all kinds of places that this idea of passing along a story, a tale bearing, can be and is practice. And by the way, this is just a side note, but if you want to quickly identify a talebearer, they usually begin their talebearing with this phrase, "Did you hear what happened to so-and-so?" Flag should go up immediately. That is the beginning phrase of a talebearer. By the way, talebearers can start very, very young. They don't say, little ones don't say, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? They say this, guess what? Guess what? What? And they'll tell you something about somebody. When you hear something like that, guess what, or did you hear about so-and-so, get ready. Somebody's about to pass along a story to you. Mark it down. You are in the presence of a tale bearer. So notice its definition, but then also its denunciation. You know, the world may think nothing of tale bearing. They may see it as a part of life, and it's done a lot. But you know, the Bible has nothing good to say about tale bearing. As a matter of fact, our God denounces tale bearing. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Listen to what it says. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a tale bearer among thy people." Do you see the word picture that's going on there? It's somebody's going up and down. They're just looking for somebody here and there, up and down the aisles to this house and to that house, just looking for somebody to give a story to about somebody else. That's what they do. And God says again, "Thou shalt not do that. It is wrong." Amen. Proverbs 18:8, watch this. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly." Proverbs 26 and verse 20, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Imagine that. You want to see make the strife go away? Stop telling stories. Stop passing things along about people. Simply put, talebearing is a sin. You know what makes talebearing so bad is this. What often goes hand in hand with talebearing are other sins like slander and backbiting and deceit. You could roll gossip into that. Here's why. Because when a talebearer tells stories, the stories are quite often not accurate. They're quite often not the whole story. Sometimes they're embellished. Often they are passed along where the information is not verified. They don't know if it's true or not, but they pass it along anyway. Often it is speculation or simply just a rumor. Usually those stories of a talebearer are of shocking nature and they are of a personal nature, and the stories almost always tend to be negative. Most of the time, the stories that a talebearer passes along, they're not good stories. They're not encouraging people. They're bad stories because, understand, those are the stories, the bad ones, that are newsworthy. Those are the ones that gets people's attention. And understand, when those stories get passed along, as I was showing you with this sheet of paper, when it goes from one person to the next and then they pass it on, often those stories tend to get altered slightly every time they're passed along. And by the time it gets to people, it's a totally different kind of story. You see, that's why God denounces this idea of passing these stories along. Tale bearing needs to stop. And if you're doing it, you need to stop it. Number one, that's a description of talebearing. It's definition, it's denunciation. Number two, would you write this down? The drive of a talebearer. So what causes a person to be a talebearer? Why does it seem like some people relish in stories and passing it along and telling things to other people? Why is that? What is their drive? What drives them to do it? I know what you could say, sin. Yeah, the old nature. I get it. But what specific things drive someone to be a talebearer? Well, there are several possible reasons that someone is a talebearer. The first one is someone might be a talebearer, letter A, to be popular. Some people have a great need to fit in. They have a great need to be liked. They have a great need and a desire to be popular. They want to kind of climb the social ladder. They want to be in the in group and be accepted by others. And so what do they do? What do they use as a tail of gaining popularity? Tail bearing. They use talebearing to gain popularity. So some people do it to gain popularity. Some people, letter B, do it to make themselves feel better. You know, when people feel bad about themselves, they will sometimes target other people by telling stories about them. After all, if somebody makes someone else look bad, then that's going to make them look good. If I put someone else down, it makes me feel better, my flesh I'm talking about, and feel good about myself. You see, it's a way of deflecting attention from themselves, of their shortcomings, if you will, and other people's faults. And so they tell a story to make that person look bad so they feel better. There's another reason some people do it, not only to be popular or to make themselves feel better. Some people do it, and I find this a lot, is to get attention. I don't know what it is. I think it's the attention-getting generation that we live in. This me generation. Look at me. Look at my life. I'm important. Look how many followers I have. Look how many likes I have. That's the generation that we live in. And understand, when you are the first in the know, when you know something that other people don't know, and you are the person with the goods, with the information, that makes you the center of attention.
Right.
What is it? What happened? Everybody's looking to you for that information. And there are some people in this world, as I said, that long for attention. And sad to say, for some people, talebearing is their only way of getting attention. That's not a good way of doing it.
Amen.
But that's what some people do. Reason for talebearing. Then there's a fourth one, not only to be popular or to make themselves feel better or to get attention. Some people do it to relieve boredom. You know, it's interesting. Researchers tell us that the number one reason that teens spread stories and rumors about other teens, whether it be on social media, which is primarily how they do it today, they say, the teen themselves will say, well, I was bored. I was bored, and so I just started spreading stories about people. They said, quote, I'm bored with my life, and so I use talebearing as a means of spicing things up, making things interesting. By the way, talebearing, though, is not limited to teenagers. Matter of fact, when Paul spoke to Timothy about the elderly widows in the church, one of the biggest problems was talebearing. 1 Timothy 5:13, written to widows. Notice, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Notice he's saying they were idle. They were looking for something to do. And so they use their time to tell stories about people. Hey, if you're bored, excuse the expression, get a life. Get a life. Start serving the Lord. Amen. There's plenty to do for God. Plenty to do. Amen. Boy, you want to get busy? Come on, ask me for some things to do around here. We'll give you lots of things to do. And stop yakking about other people and start serving God. So again, some people do it to be popular, to make themselves feel better, to get attention, to relieve boredom. And then the last one, letter E, we're moving good tonight, and that is this, to get revenge. I'll get them. I think the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We're not to get vengeance on anybody.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, some people are just downright mean. Carnal Christians are probably the meanest people I've ever seen on the face of the earth. Well, maybe not. I'm using a little hyperbole here, but they are mean. They may be jealous of somebody. They may, some may be envious of someone. Maybe their looks or their talent or their popularity or their personality or their money. And so they want to get revenge. Maybe they're just angry at them for something that they did. And so what do? Some people will pass on negative stories about others. That's horrible. And they do it to satisfy their need to get revenge. Listen, the truth is there is no valid reason for talebearing. There is absolutely no reason that a person should pass along a story about someone else, especially believers. So we see, number one, the description of a talebearer. Number two, that's its definition and denunciation. Number two, the drive of a talebearer to be popular, make themselves feel better, to get attention, to relieve boredom, or to get revenge. Then number three, let's talk about the destruction of a talebearer. Now watch this. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, the verse we've been looking at tonight. Notice we read, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Talebearing is a destructive sin. It really is. It's very destructive. And I don't think people understand that, how destructive it is. One of the areas it's particularly destructive in is relationships. In relationships. Let me explain. Do you know one of the most significant benefits of a relationship, whether that relationship be your spouse or friend, is when you are free with that person to open up your heart? In other words, when you're free to expose and talk to them about some of the things. I know we have God for that, but there sometimes a friend is good. It's good to be a blessing or help. And that could be your spouse. But when you expose your struggles, you expose to them your insecurities or your weaknesses, you expose to them your hopes and your fears. I'm talking about the innermost feelings of your heart. That's part of what a relationship is. But understand, in order, notice the blanks here, in order to have that kind of relationship, whether it be with your spouse or a close friendship, watch this, write this word down. Trust is paramount. And confidentiality is an expectation. I'll say that again. In order to have a strong relationship with a spouse or a friend, that idea of opening up yourself to them, that means that you must have trust. Trust is paramount, and confidentiality is expected. By the way, confidentiality is a part of trust. It absolutely is. You see, there can be no true deep relationship without trust. But watch what a talebearer does. A talebearer destroys any potential for a true friendship. Any potential for that kind of close relationship. Why is that? Because of what our text says. It says a talebearer revealeth secrets. A faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You see, a talebearer cannot be trusted with information. You can't open up to them. You can't say, well, here's my struggles. Here's my insecurities. Here's where I'm weak. This is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm hoping for. Things that are deep inside of your heart that you want to share with someone, but just that person. You can't do that because they can't be trusted. They'll go and tell everybody what you just said. But a true friend can.
Amen.
That's what a true friend does. They listen. They don't pass things along. They don't talk to others about things. They can be trusted. You see, the very best relationship that you or I will have will be with people that you know you can trust with information. Right. That's the very best. That won't broadcast everything you say to others. They can't keep their mouth shut. They can't listen to your problems without telling others. And they won't use what you say to them against you at a later time. That's what a true friend is. You know, if you're a talebearer, you probably don't have any true friends. Because nobody can trust you with information. Because they know what you say and what you do with information. Why would someone tell you anything when they can't trust you with it? You see, a talebearer destroys friendships. A talebearer prevents potential friendships. A talebearer gets people upset because you're telling people things that person didn't want you to say. By the way, a talebearer also destroys the talebearer themselves, because what you think you're doing to gain a friendship is actually, in reality, preventing a friendship or ending that friendship. Because they know if you're talking about others to them, that you're talking about them to others as well. You're not going to do that. You're going to do the same thing to them. And so they're not going to open up to you. Oh, I wish I had a friend. Stop talking about people. Stop passing on stories. Stop revealing everything to everyone. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man soweth strife. Watch this. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. You want to end a friendship? Start telling things to people that somebody entrusted information to you with. Start doing it. You're going to end the friendship right there. You're going to end the relationship right there. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. There it is. Right. I'm sure all of us at some point, one time or another, we've experienced the hurt and the betrayal when someone we thought was a friend violates our trust or breaks our confidentiality or uses information that you told them in confidence, either against you or it gives it to someone else, and they spread that private information to others. It hurts when that happens. And guess what? The friendship is over. Again, you want more friends? You want a close friend? You want to have friends that are more than just the surface stuff? Stop being a talebearer. You'll find that people can trust you. And over time and consistency, they'll open up to you as long as you can stop being a talebearer. So we see the description of talebearing, the drive of talebearing, the destruction of talebearing. And then lastly and fourthly, we're done here, the discipline of talebearing. Maybe I should say for talebearing. So how, you may say, well, preacher, I just have to tell a story. Stop. How do you do it? You know that the tongue is the hardest thing to control? James chapter 3 says so. See, if you're not going to be a talebearer, if you're going to say, you know, I need to stop, I just get on the phone, or I just talk to people, I just talk and tell, did you hear this, did you hear this, on and on I go, I need to stop. Guess what you have to do? Die to self. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, you may not be able to control your tongue, but God can. Amen. If you yield your tongue to him. But let me give you a little bit of a formula here that I wrote down that I think is really good. How do you discipline yourself in the matter of talebearing? Listen, it's in all of our flesh that when we hear a story, especially a juicy story, something wrong, there's a temptation, oh, I should tell somebody else about this. I'm not talking about trying to help them. I'm talking about just passing something along. It's in all of us. How do we stop that? Ask yourself these three questions before you open your mouth.
Amen.
Number one, ask yourself, before you pass along the information and say something about someone, ask yourself one, why am I telling this person this story?
Good.
Why? Do they need to know it? They may need to know it. Hey, if they need to know it, if it's something about a loved one that they care about, as far as, hey, so-and-so's in the hospital, you know, if I found out one of my loved ones, my extended relatives, whatever, was in the hospital, I'd want somebody to call me and tell me that. That's not tale-bearing, because there's a purpose behind telling the story. If there's no purpose behind telling the story and you're just yakking it out, don't say it. Well, then I have nothing to talk about. Well, that tells you you probably have a problem in this area. Number two, does this person really need to know this? They really need to know this? Why am I telling this to them? And do they really need to know it? If they don't really need to know it, don't say it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to pass a story along. And then number three is this. Would I relay this story if the person who this story is about was standing right here next to me? Amen. Hello. Try that one on for size. If that person you're talking about was standing next to you, and you say, well, I wouldn't say it if they were here, that, my friend, is a sign. You're a talebearer. Because you shouldn't say something that you wouldn't say with that person standing next to you. Otherwise, there's a problem. You see, if you can't in good conscience answer those three questions, then keep your mouth closed. Don't say it. Amen. Don't say a thing. You see, one of the hardest things for some people to do is to stop talking about people. But one of the best things you can do is stop talking about people.
Amen.
Just stop. Stop. So I asked you tonight, we're done right here. Are you a talebearer? Are you the information booth? Do you get excited when you hear something because you want to be the first to tell everybody about it? Oh, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Ask yourself those questions. Why am I telling this person the story? Do they really need to know it? Would I tell it if the person I'm talking about was standing right here? Ask yourself. You see, God's wisdom says this. If you're a talebearer, don't do it anymore.
Amen.
You want a healthy church? Stop talebearing. You want a strong church? Stop talebearing. You want strong relationships? Stop talebearing. You want a strong marriage? Stop talebearing. You'll find out. You will have more friends if you learn, and I learn, how to just keep our mouth closed and speak when we're supposed to speak and not speak when we're not supposed to speak. See, it's going to be good for yourself, your spouse, your family, everybody, if we get a hold on this idea of, I got a story to tell. I got a story to tell. Anybody ready to do? By the way, if you're the recipient of a talebearer, you can just put your hand up and say, I don't want to hear it. Okay. Do I need to know this? If not, I don't want to hear it. Amen. If I need to know this, you don't have to tell me, okay? Because I don't want to hear it. You'll find out. They'll stop coming to you. But sad to say, they might find somebody else that's going to listen. But if we all did the right thing, it'll stop. Amen?